Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I think for older people, I think they really need to understand that this product will give you the energy that you need to sustain throughout a day. Right now, I just can't hardly make it through the day. If I don't start my day, I'm taking three of each every day. Yeah, it's I'm a flag waver for the product. I believe in it. I know it's helping me. I feel more satisfied that I've got my energy level for the day. And, you know, for the last 2 weeks, I've been working over at my mom's house to get it ready to sell. It's just unbelievable. I guarantee you, if you saw me compared to the rest of the guys that are 74, yeah, you'd think them boys is ready for the couch. And I'm going strong all day long and have been for quite some time now.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Y'all, I'm a middle-aged woman. And up until today, I have managed to not ever have to do a rant video on Facebook, but apparently today is my day. Just left the grocery store, and as we all know, the coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever we're calling it this week, has driven people completely insane. And the woman in line in front of me, just apropos of nothing, just starts shrieking at the poor little guy ringing her up that he has just touched his face and that he therefore must wash his hands. Just shrieking this to the top of her lungs, so I'm assuming she surely to God must be the head of the CDC because she says it was such conviction. And by the way, lady, it's you're not supposed to touch your face. Doesn't really matter as much if he touches his. I digress. The little guy says, I can't wash my hands right now. She says, I'll wait. Great, well, I'll wait, I guess, lady. He says, I have hand sanitizer. So he takes like a quarter of a little squirt, does this little thing on his hands for about a quarter of a second, which basically would have just served to incite a riot and maybe kill off two small, weak germs, to which the head of the CDC in her kitten-covered lab coat nods and fervently agrees that he's, you know, saved the universe with that. He kind of refrains from rolling his eyes, which I think makes him a saint. And then she goes on to whip out her credit card and use the debit pad that every finger-licking, booger-picking, double-digit IQ idiot has touched all day long after going to the bathroom and not washing their hands. And then she just walks on out with her groceries. Completely oblivious to the fact that everyone who handled those groceries prior to her getting them has left their little touch and trace of germs all over them. That going down the conveyor belt, they probably picked up chicken juice and everything else. But thank God that kid used that quarter of a squirt of Purell. She has saved the day and kept us all safe from the coronavirus. Y'all, it doesn't matter what we do. There's so many stupid people in this world. We're never going to survive anyway. So touch your face. Just touch it. Just touch it. It's all that's left.
Honestly, one of my most favorite clips ever. Oh, do all of you feel that way? I know you have to. Of course you do. Of course you do. How can you not? I want to give you your daily affirmation from the Kate Daly Show. You're not crazy. Yeah, there's crazy out there, but you're not one of them. And people aren't dying left and right of COVID, even though they keep telling you that. And it's almost 100% recoverable, so you don't need that vaccine either. And you're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, you're not nuts. I tell you what, there are many people that feel the same way that you do. So I just want to make sure that you realize you're not crazy. Let me give you a quick rundown, and then I'm going to do an hour that is not based on election or COVID. Okay? Let me give you my two-minute wrap-up of the day. Time magazine, the same magazine that promoted Hitler, is promoting Biden and we just call him Joe Beijing and Hormala. And I guess they're one person, which pretty much makes sense. So that's Time's Person of the Year. Okay. Then we have the election still moving forward. More states joining, six more states suing. Just amazing things are happening. Don't think for a second they aren't. Don't think for a second. Do not believe the mainstream. A lot of things happening. I actually still think Trump's going to stay in. I'm telling you, it's not over. Australia had to halt their vaccine trials because people were coming up positive for HIV. We have paralysis of the face, Bell's palsy, and deaths coming out of the Pfizer vaccine trial. We have AstraZeneca saying it's only 70% effective. By the way, your body can do 99.9% on its own without any meds. I think I'd go with that. I think the higher average then, if I recall my my common core math, 99.9 is higher than 90% or 70%. Go with the body. And also cycles, they're cycling the tests at 40, which means that Fauci said back in July, anything over 35 is deceitful on a cycling test, which means that they're magnifying it that many times, okay? So that they can look under a cell under the microscope, and they're having to magnetize it 40 times so they can get the result they want. Because at that point, it ceases to be anything. And all across the nation, that's what they're doing right now. So they can get their up to 90% false positives. Okay. Sounds like fun, right? So I'm just giving you the 2-minute wrap-up of the day, and I really appreciate Investigator Dave coming on. Thank you. And I want to give you a couple of stories. If you're feeling down in the dumps, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't take one more thing, and this is crazy, and what's going on, and life is strange, I want to share this story with you from The Moth, actually. Now, The Moth can be very, very liberal, but at times there's little glimmers of hope that they keep their politics out of it. And this is kind of one of those stories, but this is a story about a guy learning how that maybe having it bad, look around, because you know what? Trials are trials. Let me share this with you first, and then we'll talk about it in the next segment. All right. Let's see if I have enough time for this. Okay. Let's shoot. Let's go for it.
New Year's Eve, 1973. I'm 21 years old. I wake up and I am paralyzed from my chest down. I can move my arms. Rushed to the hospital. Operated on. I learned to transfer from the bed right away. I'm in the wheelchair. First time I wheel myself, I'm wheeling and it's stuck. And I'm trying to move it. And all of a sudden I look down and I realize that my left leg is under the wheel and I can't even feel it. You would think that you would panic in such a situation like this. But I didn't. I got happy. I felt like I'm using all my bad luck. Everything from here on out is going to be good. I'll never be depressed again. And my life is going to be like the first day of school for the rest of my life. Everything is possible. And now this delusion was helped with Demerol, which I was getting a lot of. But I really believed it. I mean, I was happy. I was a great patient. One nurse came in and said, you know, there's this like 17-year-old kid down the hall, and he broke his leg skiing, and he's such down in the dumps. I'd like to take him in here and show him you. You know, like, look how bad off this guy is. You should be happy. Look, he's happy. Well, I left that hospital. And went to Memorial Sloan Kettering. I had Hodgkin's disease, a tumor on my spine that was pressing it. Still, I get there, it's cancer. Wow, cancer, but still, I'm a happy man. And I roll into my room, and my roommate, who I have to roll by, is a guy in his 60s, 70s. And he's sitting there, and he's going, g-g-g-g-g. And he's got a handful of And I look at him and I'm revolted and I am angry. I just have hatred for this guy. So I try to stay out of the room as much as possible. But when you're in a room, you learn things about people. So I learned that, one, that he was Jewish, two, that he was a butcher. And he was probably German because his wife was speaking German. Okay, so this is in the back of my mind. Well, one evening I'm out and we're ordering pizzas when all the visitors go home in the visitors' room. Several of us guys order pizzas and we play cards. And one evening, one of the guys don't show up. So I roll into his room, and I roll into the room, and he's there with an oxygen mask on me, and he says, it got into my soft tissue. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I knew it was bad. I don't want to be alone with myself. And we're staring at each other. And all of a sudden, I roll right up to the bed, and I say, good God, you keep saying good God, good God. Are you saying good God? And I get a response. Yes, that's what he's trying to say. I say, oh. And then I say, you know, everybody's talking to you like you don't understand anything, but you understand what's going on. Yes, I get a more acknowledgement. So then I figure, okay, let me find out about this guy. And I know you were a butcher. Were you a butcher in Germany? Yes, he was a butcher in Germany. And what town did you come from? And I start naming a town, Munich, Frankfurt. I get to Berlin. Berlin, oh, okay. You know, and then I just say, when did you emigrate here? I say, before 1920? No, I say, before 1930? No, I go 31, I keep going. And I get to 38 and I get some acknowledgement. And all of a sudden, I just think, I go, he's in Berlin, he's a butcher. In 1930, I go, Kristallnacht? And he just reacts. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, Kristallnacht was the night that the Nazi youths went through Berlin and smashed the windows and vandalized all the Jewish establishments, sort of a prelude of what was to come. And as I'm sort of having this wash over me, he's trying to articulate something. And he's going, Ripper, Ripper. You know, and I'm trying to figure out. And all of a sudden, I just go, reparations? You got reparations from the... And I said, is that how you got your butcher shop here? And yes, I get an acknowledgement. So I say, wow. And I start thinking about this. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what led me to do this, but I just started saying, Mr. Schatz, you survived Nazis. You know, you start your life over. You hear, you know, you get to America. You have a family. I see your wife and your daughter and your son-in-law. I mean, and now you're laying in this bed. I mean, doesn't it get you angry? How the hell do you understand this? And as I'm saying that, his eyes get very bright and very intense, and he's looking at me, and he starts moving his arm, like pointing it to me, and he's grunting, and I immediately understood what he was doing. I mean, it was as if he had said, and what about you? You know? I mean, your life hasn't even started yet, and you're a cripple. I mean, weeping. And I fell asleep that night. At his bedside, I get woken up in the middle of the night by an orderly who put me to bed. And when I think about that night, I think that's the night I grew up. Thank you.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I rise up like the day. I rise up.
Beck. Great song. You know, I was thinking about Rob Fasano's story about being paralyzed and landing in the same hospital room with a gentleman that that had survived the Nazis and had come to this country and had this stroke and all of the things that had happened to him. And as he finally realized, he said, "I finally grew up in that moment. I grew up because I started, you know, you realize that other people have trials and we all have them and we're going to have them." I think that's, you know, I wish that whenever we say, "How are you?" and the other person says, "I'm fine," right? And of course, they're probably not fine because given the rate at which we go through things, they're probably not fine, but they say fine and we all move on and we want everything to always be perfect. And when something bad happens, we go, you know, we concentrate on that and, oh, we just want things to get better and be removed from anything bad that ever happens. But we all know that bad things will happen or going to happen and we'll get through them. It's kind of like the only reason we're here. So is to get through these things and build our character and our integrity and all the qualities that we have. And I really believe that. So, you know, I know we always want the road to not be bumpy and we always want things to be perfect. And I know right now the cries to go back to how we were, to what we think was, you know, was normal, things that were normal. It might not be. We might have to forge a new avenue here because people are insane out there. But we're still going to get through it. And you're still you, and you still have all those same things going into this. And so I hope that we can find that in ourselves, you know, that those qualities that help us get through things rather than always feeling like we're beaten down. We're not. We just have to get through them. And we have to get through them with perspective. And the second that guy's perspective changed, it changed for him. And I think that's what needs to happen to us right now. We have got to change our perspective on this and keep fighting and keep doing all the things we know to do because that's what's in us, right? And we need to find that courage again and we need to go after this. But I don't want to go after this with that same "I feel beaten down" effect. Because I think that's kind of where we're at. You know, I've said this a million times. Oh my gosh, this year. Okay, I get it. But you know what? We should have been knowing that we were going to go into a year like this, right? We should have known that. We should be more prepared for it. So now we got to be more prepared for 2021. And now we've got to find that perspective again and say, okay, we can get through that now, you know? I'll take a caller real quick. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate.
Yeah.
I listened to some communist propaganda in West Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to give it to them. They were very, very good.
Mm, yeah. Yep, thank you.
Christ said that we will always have the poor,
right,
the vulnerable. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In our part of the world, no one starves.
Nope. Nope. Thank you. Thanks for that. So let me go on. I'm gonna have to split this one up between two segments. So we're gonna have a break between the story, but this story, what resonated with me on this one, and this is again from the Moth. What resonated was our drive to have justice in this world. Okay, and it's something that's very profound because it's what makes us feel like all is right with the world. When justice is served. Today, Fox News asked Joe Biden. We asked Joe Biden if his son committed a crime, and he said no. Case closed. I know that for all of us that aren't crazy, we're like, wait a minute, that's it? You're just going to ask his father? And his father's going to say no? Hello? So, I know. You're just like, what? Okay. So, we want justice. And we'll feel like if justice is served, that we understand the world, like we can still get through this. And I know people feel like this. So I want to give you a story of one guy's quest for justice. And it's really funny. But let me tell you, it resonates right now. Because I think at the heart of this, We want to see the criminals go to jail. We want to see people that are fraudulent and lying, and after all the year of lies and fraudulent behavior, and it's screaming right in front of our face, you want to see these people, you know, get punished for that. And I can understand that, because justice is justice, and justice needs to be served in so many areas right now. So let me play this for you. This is funny. Here we go. One guy's quest for justice.
When I first moved to Minneapolis, everything in my life went horribly wrong. I transferred to a small art school, and my girlfriend wrecked my car. Said girlfriend became an ex-girlfriend, and the house I was living in was condemned. I was working for minimum wage in a comic book store during the day and going to my night classes at art school. It was not a high point in my life. But the only thing that kept me going was the thought of spring break. Just 1 week back home with my parents and friends and away from this life. And I'd been saving. I'd been saving for 6 months for this trip, because when you make minimum wage, saving for anything takes a really long time. And so I finished my last final at school, and I went home and celebrated my new bachelorhood by ordering a Domino's pizza, eating it off napkins, and playing video games all night. And 2 days later, I was packed and I was ready to go home. All I had to do was drop my last paycheck off at the bank. And I went into the bank and I handed the teller my check, and I got the receipt and I flipped it over, and on the back, my account balance was negative $536. And I felt all the life just drain out of me, because I couldn't catch a break. And so I asked to see my balance statement, and there they were, two $600 Western Union money transfers, a bunch of random delivery orders, and a $400 charge to a website called inmatecanteen.com. And so I sat down with the banker, and she saw that the charges were false and went about trying to reverse them. And while she was doing that, I went and I sat in the lobby, and I started thinking about how unfair identity theft is. Because when somebody steals your identity, they only take the good parts, you know? They don't take the rat trap apartment and the depression and the job. No, they just take the one thing that I had been looking forward to for the past 6 months. And while I'm mulling this over, the banker comes back and she tells me that the bank is going to give me all my money back, but it's going to take about a week of processing. And so I go home and I can't get it out of my head, because the bank wasn't going to do anything about this. And the police weren't going to do anything about this. And these people that rob you, they don't get caught. Nobody cares enough. But this identity theft was different, because this person had messed with the most dangerous type of person that exists, which is someone with limited options and a lot of free time. And so I decided to start my own investigation. And so I took my bank records and I started going through them, and I called Western Union, and they were no help. And I went to inmatecanteen.com and and I called the support number, but it was disconnected. And so all I had were these delivery charges, and I noticed something, which is that they were local. And then it hit me. The last charge that I had made on my own account was the last night of my finals, the night that I ordered that Domino's pizza. And I realized that when I read my credit card number over the phone, the woman at Domino's must have written it down and used it again. The woman at Domino's robbed me. This was more upsetting, because this was someone that could live six blocks from me, who spoke to me on the phone and heard my voice. Someone who I trusted. I mean, I trusted Domino's. Out of all the people or things in my life that could betray me, Domino's was not on the list. And lastly, because I spent years as a delivery driver, and this broke the code of ethics. So this wasn't just a theft. This felt personal. And so I had a suspect. And the next day I marched into that Domino's and I demanded to know who was working the night my identity was stolen. And the manager on duty passed me to his manager, who passed me to his manager. And eventually they told me to come back later and they would have the names for me. So I continued my investigation and I went to a place called the Green Mill, which was a restaurant where some of the false delivery charges had taken place. And the manager there was really helpful because there was nothing else to do. And he gave me a week's worth of delivery tickets, and I started digging through them looking for a match. And after about 30 minutes, the phone rang, and he picked it up and started taking down an order. And then he picks up a piece of paper and starts waving it back and forth, and I come over, and on the paper is a credit card number. And it's my credit card number. And the person who stole my credit card is on the other end of that phone, and the manager is looking at me like, well, what do we do now? And I look him straight in the eyes, and I say, give me a topper, a hat, and I will take that delivery. And he looks at me, and he says, and that will get me fired. And I say, okay, maybe that wasn't the best idea. Tell them that your driver is out sick and that it's pickup only. And so he does, and he hangs up, and he looks at me, and he says, they'll be here in 15 minutes. And so I grab a newspaper, and I sit down in a booth, and I prop it up. And I sit down for my very first stakeout. And an agonizing 17 minutes later, a car pulls in, a woman gets out and comes inside and asks for her pickup order. And I start writing down every detail. The fact that it's a white lifted Chevy Tahoe, the license plate number, what she's wearing and what she looks like. And meanwhile, she's having a conversation with the manager, and he's saying that the card was declined and he needs to run it again. But she says she doesn't have it on her and it's in her car, and she leaves the restaurant and doesn't come back. And so I ask the manager to do me one more favor. I ask him to star 69, the number she called from. And I add that cell phone number to my growing list of evidence. A couple hours later, I receive a call from a man who introduces himself as the head of Domino's security. And he was calling to apologize, to thank me for my help in the investigation, and to know that once I had filed a police report, that Domino's had my back. He had also pulled the hours I wanted and had them waiting at the original Domino's shop. So I went back and I picked him up, and I started asking questions there. And I asked if anyone there drove a white lifted Chevy Tahoe. And the daytime driver said that a girl who worked the night shift did. A girl who matched the description of the person who came into the Green Mill, who was also working the night that my identity was stolen.
Okay, I'm going to come right back and give you the rest of the story. Do you understand? You feel his pain, right? Because when that happens, you feel so violated. And I think as a nation, we do feel so violated with all the lying and everything that's been going on. You want that piece of justice. And I get it. I do too. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying. But I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move. I won't dance. Bring it to its feet.
Kate Daly Show. Happy to have you in a COVID-free, election-free 45 minutes. welcome back. And I wanted to finish out this story. This story was Tristan Jefferson. He was talking about the fact that he had identity theft because he had ordered a pizza. Then he found out that the woman, he was actually, that they were actual local, some local delivery charges. So he thought, oh, this person committing this identity theft lives near me. Followed one of the receipts to a restaurant. And while he was at the restaurant, his credit card was being used by the person on the phone to order food. So he tries to play detective. So I'll wind this up just a little bit and play you the rest of the story. Here we go.
And I sit down in a booth and I prop it up. And I sit down for my very first stakeout. And an agonizing 17 minutes later, a car pulls in. A woman gets out and comes inside and asks for her pickup order. And I start writing down every detail. The fact that it's a white lifted Chevy Tahoe, the license plate number, what she's wearing and what she looks like. And meanwhile, she's having a conversation with the manager, and he's saying that the card was declined and he needs to run it again. But she says she doesn't have it on her and it's in her car, and she leaves the restaurant and doesn't come back. And so I ask the manager to do me one more favor. I ask him to star 69, the number she called from. And I add that cell phone number to my growing list of evidence. A couple hours later, I receive a call from a man who introduces himself as the head of Domino's security. And he was calling to apologize, to thank me for my help in the investigation, and to know that once I had filed a police report, that Domino's had my back. He had also pulled the hours I wanted and had them waiting at the original Domino's shop. So I went back and I picked him up, and I started asking questions there. And I asked if anyone there drove a white lifted Chevy Tahoe. And the daytime driver said that a girl who worked the night shift did. A girl who matched the description of the person who came into the Green Mill, who was also working the night that my identity was stolen. Lastly, I took the cell phone number and gave it to the manager because I didn't want to call it myself and arouse suspicion. So he called it, and she answered and confirmed her identity, condemning herself. So next, I asked to see her application because those places always keep those things on file. And at first, the manager was wary of the legal things with that. But once I assured him that this was for the police report, he relented. And so after I've copied down this information, now I have her first, middle, and last name, her date of birth, her social security number, her driver's license number. I know her car make and model and the license plate number. I know where and when she works and where she lives and her previous job references and her email address. And so I go home and I'm in a frenzy and I can't stop. And so I Google her email address, and when you do that, you can pull up all of the accounts that you've created with that email address. And so I found her eBay account, and her Flickr account, and her MySpace. And her MySpace was set to public, and I can see her pictures and her comments and her blogs, and I realize that I am going crazy. But the thing about going crazy is you can't stop. And so I open one of her blogs called 50 Things About Me. And the very first question is, what is my favorite food? And she wrote, pizza. And so by the time I'm at the end of this list, I realize that I know more about this woman probably than most of her coworkers and friends, and that this is a real person that I would be sending to jail. But she broke the code. And so I call the cops. And the next day they send out a police officer to take my report. And the fraud report starts out normal. It's just how much money was stolen and when was it stolen and is the bank reimbursing you. And then the last question, almost as an afterthought, was, do you have any additional information which might benefit the case? And I said, why, yes, I do. And I start listing things. And the confusion on the officer's face turns to laughter when she hears the full story. And she says that, well, you've done my job for me. And I agree. Later on that day, I receive a call from the detective now working this case. He says that with all my information, he cross-checked it with DOT records and the criminal database, and that it all checks out, and that by the end of the day, there will be a warrant out for this woman's arrest. I tell him that she's going to work tomorrow at Domino's at 5. And after a pause, he says that he'll have a squad car waiting for her. And so lastly, I ask the detective if I can be there. Because I'd done a lot of work on this. And I kind of wanted to see the look on her face. That same look of shock and horror that I had when I was sitting in that bank and I flipped that receipt over and saw everything I'd saved gone. But he said that was impossible. He did say that if I happened to be walking across the street at around 5 o'clock, that no one would probably be the wiser. So I got to go undercover one last time. And I found myself standing across the street from that Domino's at 5 o'clock, squad car parked in back and two officers inside. And I saw that white lifted Chevy Tahoe come around the corner and park and her get out and go through the front door. And I could see her back arch up as she froze and saw the officers because she knew she was caught. And then they handcuffed her, put her in the back of the squad car, and they drove away. Case closed. But then a couple hours later, I received one of the most surreal phone calls I've ever gotten in my entire life. The man on the other end of the line introduced himself as the CEO of Domino's. He was calling to personally apologize, thank me for my help in the investigation, and I assume avoid a giant lawsuit. And so he asked me how much money was stolen and told me that Domino's would reimburse me for everything. And I told him that the bank was already doing that and that it wasn't about the money. And so he asked me what I wanted. And up until this point, I hadn't really thought about it. But what do you say? I mean, free pizza for life? A pizza named after me? No, I'd lost my taste for pizza at this point. No, I told him I didn't want this to happen to anyone else. I told him that I wanted him to pursue this to the furthest extent of the law, and that every new Domino's employee that gets hired would hear this story. That if you, with credit card information of customers, that you will go to jail. And he said he could do that. And later I received two letters in the mail. The first was a letter that said the woman had pleaded guilty to all charges and would be serving a short prison sentence. The second, a personal thank you letter from the CEO of Domino's, a check for the exact amount of money stolen, and 500 Domino's bucks. And I realized that I actually did get everything back that was stolen. The money, yes, but for that week, I wasn't the pathetic, depressed art student. No, for that week, I was Tristan Jimerson, Private Eye. The gumshoe that knows that revenge, like delivery pizza, is best served cold. Thank you.
Oh, made me laugh. You know, I know that you're probably sitting there either in your car or listening to this and thinking to yourself, you know, there is really something about that moment when somebody gets justice or you see justice served that restores your faith in humanity a little bit, right? Like you say, okay, that person, they know they did something wrong and they were held accountable. There was a consequence. And as much as I would say in the first part of this hour, we have to adjust the perspective to put the fight on to be able to get through what we're going to get through, and we can totally do it. Generations before us have been through a lot more than we're going through right now. We can do this. At the same time, we also want to see that moment of these people are criminals in government and they are trying to take our freedom. And they have been successful this year, and we want to see them pay for that, and we want to see the justice served through the court system. We want to see that it is recognized that crimes were committed. And I know as a whole, I think being an American, especially, you want to feel that that's being done. You want to at least know that people have that interest at heart. And that the moment we become a nation that doesn't, that the justice system doesn't deliver that, which we've seen instances along the way, but man, this is on a grand scale, right? That we cease to be this country. So we have got to see these moments of justice happen to these people. And I think with the election, I think it's more about for people that justice being served so that the criminals can't get away with what they're getting away with right now, aided and abetted by the media. And I think that if even part of that were to happen, we would feel more secure in this country, a little more secure, thinking, oh, okay, all right now, you know, let's see some of this. But unless that happens, we're out there left hanging on the insecurity of what happens next, because if they're able to do this with the election and COVID, what can they do next? And this is where we help wake others up. We're smart people. We get this. COVID is 99.9% recoverable. Why in the world are you wearing a mask? Why? You know this. Everyone knows this. Does everybody really think they're part of the 0.00056? Does everybody think that? Because it's 99.9%, you know, whatever the math is, almost 100% recoverable. So I want to see some justice in these liars being removed and taken to jail. That would be nice. The harm that they've done our economy, the harm they've done business. government in general, mayors all the way up to governors, all the way up the chain. I want to see justice done for the business owners. I don't want to see capitalism take the hit. I don't want to see us take the hit because we have overreaching government. I have a liner on the show that says sunny. The weather today is sunny with a 100% chance of government overreach. So I know that all of us have this collective yearning for, and that's the only collective thing I like, is the yearning for justice. And again, here's your affirmative thought of the day. You're not nuts. You get this. You're not alone in this. And many, by the day, many, many Americans are finally waking up. Look at what's going on in California. Look at people seeking justice there. They are finally going, no more. We're not going to do this anymore. I've never seen an awakening like what's happening in California. But you pinch the people hard enough, that's what's going to happen. And it's happening all over the place. There's rallies. There's all kinds of things going on. Don't for a minute get depressed that things are not, you know, that we're not going to get any justice on this. And with the fraud, the amount of fraud, none of those states have been called yet. This thing is still in the ring. Fight isn't over. Fat lady hasn't sung a song. We are still here. And so enjoy this weekend. Go into your Christmas, you know, as far as it's 2 weeks before Christmas. Go into this sort of holiday mode, enjoying, because we still have to feel joy and happy and those types of things. Even though I know we feel really insecure about what's going on. Nothing's worse than not having things solidified. I get that. But let's hope that, and let's pray that this moment of feeling not solidified is good, because that means that maybe some things are working in the behalf of justice right now. And God willing, we are in a situation where hopefully that will prevail, because those states broke those laws. And the states going after them, they have a good case, period. It's a great case. It is a phenomenal case, actually. They've got the evidence. Now we just need the honest judges, and we need a miracle with honest judges, because it's really sad that so many judges are bought and sold. But if we can have some honest justices in those moments, do the right thing, and err on the side of the Constitution, then I think we have a collective relief of a little bit of justice, right? Just a little bit. We just need a little slice of it. Go into your weekend knowing that the wheels are still turning and that things are still in play. And I'm still very hopeful, because I see so many people sending emails from all corners of the world waking up like crazy. This has been the biggest gift of this year. If we could find a gift, there's one. All right. Be faithful. Be fearless. Have a great weekend. I'll see you here next week. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week. Monday is Elector Day, Electoral College Day. It should be very interesting. And everybody have a great one. Go enjoy.